Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber.
Welcome back. It's so good to be with you guys again today. I really, really love our community and doing this podcast and the support that we get from one another. And did you know that the adoption and foster community is one of the fastest growing communities in the United States?
Wow, I heard that. And it's like, okay, I believe it. All my people do it.
That's right. That's right. So we want you all to know that you are a brave and selfless tribe. And it's such an honor that you share time with us. We're just really grateful for you. And it encourages us to hear how God is moving among the body of Christ.
Yeah, you really are an encouragement to us. And we love hearing from you. But we love hearing your ups and your downs. And a few weeks ago, we got this email from a church staff member, and she was just super concerned for her senior pastor. And it seems that the pastor and his family had adopted almost 10 years ago, and their adopted child was now a teenager. Now, everything had been going pretty well, and this child seemed to be moving forward in healing, attachment, until one day, I mean, life turned on a dime. The walls came tumbling down. And now that this child is becoming a young adult, the trauma, Tara, is, and we're seeing this over and over as they enter adulthood, is really rearing its ugly head and inflicting deep pain upon the entire family. She's violent. She's angry. She's just mad. And the family's exhausted. And so they wrote to us for prayer and for help.
Well, unfortunately, as we both know, that trauma does not tell time. And we remember, too, that in brain development, especially as they're getting older, that our brain goes through these new growth sections at 8 and 12 and 16 and 18. So as they're entering adulthood, they're having to reprocess their story in a new way. And the effects of that can be really overwhelming. So the sweet, adjusted child that you once knew can sink deep into despair and become stuck in past memories.
And so when the brain develops like that, like you said, at 8, 12, 16, and 18, even though their body is developmentally 18, doesn't mean that that's what their mental age
is. Right, correct. Which is really why it's important for us to have a professional or a person that over time, when we hit these new areas where we're getting stuck, that we can say, hey, you know, we haven't been to see Miss Carol for a while. Why don't we, I see you're really struggling. Let's just go back and give her and talk through some of these issues that we have. Because it's going to pop up again and again. As they leave the nest, then all of a sudden the fears of being alone or insecure can easily rise up. And that can really wreak havoc in their mind if they don't have anyone to really process through with it.
Oh, so true. Do you remember playing the game Capture the Flag?
Yes.
My kids love it. When we lived in Louisville, and we had those woods. Our kids played it all the time. Loved to have friends over and play that. And if you've ever been in a youth group, you've played Capture the Flag. But the idea is to capture the enemy's flag. Well, that's kind of how I see this calling. I was thinking about it the other day. Every time a child is placed into a home where they'll be loved, introduced to Jesus, it's an eternal change here, the enemy loses ground. We're capturing the enemy's flag. And war is declared against us personally and against our families because he's just not going to sit back and let that happen.
Right.
And I believe I've known this, that the Lord is raising up an army and the enemy's just not going to stand for it. You know, I truly believe that Satan also knows that his time is limited.
Yes.
You know, that he's running out of time to ruin lives. And so he's calling a full court press to ruin and discourage as many families as he can.
And it really seems that many foster and adoptive parents that I've spoken to and worked with lately have really all been a deep struggle. It's really almost sometimes discouraging for me. I'm like, is somebody doing well? I mean, this is hard.
Yeah,
it's very hard work. But we do hear so many stories of despair and discouragement. But we have to rest in the assurity of knowing that the enemy wants nothing more than to monopolize our thoughts, crush our hopes, and push us to quit or walk away. But as we, as the caregivers, as we find ourselves weary and worn and asking God, when's the pain and the hurt going to let up? When is this going to get better? When is there going to be laughter in my home again?
Yeah.
And sometimes we just get to the despair of Elijah, you know, when he says, Lord, I just can't live like this for the rest of my life. But we have to rest assured that God is in control and we can rely and rest in Him.
Yeah, and so today I just want to, we just want to talk about to keep showing up.
Yes.
And reiterate the reality that how can you not expect to have hard seasons?
Right.
You know?
It's a broken world.
Right. Our lives have entered this deep brokenness of others. And our families have been built, think about it, from loss, trauma, neglect. And we have also been faithful, led by the hands of Jesus for just this time. But like you said, it's just hard.
Right.
It's difficult. Now, He could have placed us, you and I and everyone listening, He could have placed us on planet Earth at any other time in history. But He put us here right now.
That's right.
When the need to love the fatherless and really care for the vulnerable has never been greater.
That's right. That's right. And so for the next few minutes, can we just encourage you to keep showing up for that precious soul that the Lord has placed in your home? Let's just lock arms and face our weariness together and not allow the enemy to gain any more territory.
Absolutely. And just to be transparent today, you know, like many others, we've been in a very challenging time at our house. Our kids are entering adulthood. And that can be tricky. It really can, especially for kids from trauma and neglect. And if you're like me, Tara, I can find myself expecting things. Like,
right.
I want better things, right? And so I'm always hoping tomorrow will be better or it's going to get better. I think things like, man, we've been pouring into our family for so long. Circumstances, Lord, these things should be better by now. I should have turned or trauma should be further down the road of healing by now, or things should be, they just should be better.
Yeah.
And when people aren't where we think they should be, I'll be honest, heavy despair and disappointment can just choke the joy out of living.
And especially in light of prosperity gospel,
where
everybody just says, if you have enough faith, then all of this is going to be perfect. Well, we weren't promised any of that.
No, none.
We weren't, and I get it. And all of those feelings, though, are valid feelings, and unfortunately, there just aren't easy answers. But there are things that we can do to ensure that we keep showing up and fighting for our families.
And, you know, that's half the battle. It's, you know, we could do a book, Showing Up for Dummies. Just really just show up, get up. But, you know, during a time of intense struggle, one of the first things I have to do, I have to talk to myself. I have to remind myself, I've been handpicked for this assignment. Like, I tell you guys all the time, I came from nothing. Like, I really did. But I was picked for this.
That's right.
And this painful season, it hasn't caught my Lord off guard. It hasn't caught Him by surprise. I have to go back to my why and remember why we started this journey. We were led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I wasn't given a, like you said, Tara, promise for a victorious outcome this side of heaven, but I am promised the Lord's victory. So here's what I've had to resolve. Maybe the goal isn't the outcome, but more of embracing life today, of living in the hurt, of choosing to live in faithfulness for this day. This very difficult, challenging 24 hours is an opportunity for me to choose Jesus. So instead of falling apart, I just don't let myself do that. Like, I mean, there have been times, but I fight it, right? Instead of falling apart, I take those thoughts captive and I choose to fall in step with the Lord's presence and His sovereignty. Now, I stress that choose part.
The choosing is the, it really is the most important word in that sentence.
And you know, I had a, I had someone challenge me one time to just climb in His lap and rest. I don't have to be productive every day.
No.
I don't have to see movement every day.
No.
To just sit in His lap and rest. Even when I can't understand the hand of God, I know I can trust His heart. And the Lord really reiterated this to me when I was taking care of my dad when he was dying, you know. He is good and loving toward all He has made. And, man, we got to remember He made us. He chose us for this time, this short span of time. We're not here very long. Scripture says we're a vapor. And to embrace and flourish in this calling, He knows exactly how and why. And I do believe the means, He knows what He's doing to help me navigate this.
That's right. And one day all of this ends.
That's right.
And we'll be victorious because Jesus, the risen one, is eternally victorious.
Amen.
We can all be okay today because he has already won the battle for tomorrow. And as much as we love these wonderful people that the Lord has placed in our homes, we can't control the outcomes. Mm-mm. He has called us in our sanctification to be obedient to him today.
Mm-hmm.
But we can be faithful, and we can rest in his victory, because one day Revelation 21:4 says he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or trauma or pain.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine life without tears.
It really is, because there are a lot of them.
There are. There absolutely are. I mean, I can sit and cry with the foster mom any day of the week, mm-hmm. because the stories are so hard, mm-hmm. and so heartbreaking. And reunification is hard on both sides. And, you know, just adoption's hard. It comes from great loss.
Mm-hmm. But as we recognize that and know that he's growing us into the likeness of his son, and that he loves our children more than we love our mm-hmm. children, and even in all of the hard things, that he has a purpose and a plan, that he created. He knew us before we were even formed. He created us in our mother's womb. He appointed us for such a time as this,
That's
and he's
right.
going to grow us into the likeness of his son. And that growth and sanctification is not easy.
No, it's not.
Not. But, you know, I found, Lynette, that being in faith, being really faithful in community really spurs me on I get tired and weary.
Yeah, it really does. Any groups at your church help, you know?
Yes.
Like, I know mm-hmm. my church does a just monthly foster and adoptive parents get together. My pastor preaches it from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm. We have a Wednesday night group, and we don't meet in the summertime. So last night was our first week back.
Oh, but it was great.
And it was like a family reunion.
Yeah.
We were hugging, and there were new people in there, and they're like, I'm really excited about being a part of this. Y'all like each other a lot. But we have prayed together. We've cried together.
Right.
We've celebrated victories together. We've encouraged one another. And so just being in the same room with all of these like-minded people through all of these ups and downs is one of the most encouraging parts of my week, every week.
Oh, absolutely. It's imperative to my well-being. Mm-hmm. I mean, I miss Sunday night church now. I mean,
yeah,
I really do.
I know.
It's a dead art. But even here at NAM, you know, at the Mission Board, we know our church planters thrive and do better when surrounded by faithful community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just how we're wired. And the enemy knows if he can isolate us,
he can weaken us.
Oh, man, he can, and defeat us.
Mm-hmm.
But it always encourages me to join in and serve with others. And so if I make myself get past my feelings,
mm-hmm.
in serving and sharing life with other people, it really energizes
right.
me. It does. It reminds me that I matter, mm-hmm. I'm a part of something, and that I'm loved. The early church laid this foundation. They did for this model for strength through community. And when I purposely take the time to care for others, go out of my way, do mm-hmm. something for others, and pray with them, because mm-hmm. I told them I would, and to follow through
right.
about their pain, I find that our burdens seem lighter, and I feel closer to people.
Mm-hmm.
Our joy deepens as we share this life. It's in community that we learn to help carry one another's burdens.
Mm-hmm. Well, disappointments happen in life to everybody at some time or another, and we really need a tribe of people that we can trust and depend on. And it's how our Maker molded our
right.
souls. We were never, never, never called to do this alone. So, you know, our struggles and times of suffering, they really prepare us to help others. So how could we ever truly feel the pain of another person if we'd never experienced it ever ourselves?
That's right.
So we have to remember that the Lord wastes none of our experiences, no matter how painful or difficult they may be, that he is a God of order, and he's a God of purpose, and he's working for our good and for the good of others.
Yeah, suffering leads us to reach out to others. It really
mm-hmm.
does.
And, you know, Charles Spurgeon wrote, "It's good for me to have been afflicted, that I might know how to speak a word in season to one that is weary."
Wow, it is good for me to be afflicted. Sounds like the Apostle Paul.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does. You know, I really struggle to remember this at
mm-hmm.
times. Do you?
I do.
In the midst of it, because it hurts.
In the middle of it, you just want to say, "Come on, Lord, you parted the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Get us out of this."
Yeah, because you can do all things.
Right.
But our trials truly do, as you said earlier, have meaning and purpose. There's always more to it than what we see on the surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pain can promote maturity in our lives.
Right.
It can. But they also, I believe that pain for Kevin and I has prepared us for ministry.
Right.
It really has. The letter of Philippians is just a clear example. I love Philippians.
I've
just been eating on the first and second chapters lately so much, but it's an example of suffering for faithfulness. And Paul was suffering for the benefit of others. Mm-hmm. It was his faith that landed him in jail. He was doing the right thing. He was doing kingdom work, and he ends up in jail. But from there, he encourages new believers. And I think about 129, he said, it's been granted to us, to all of us, that for the sake of Christ, we'll not only believe in him, but also suffer for him.
And if he had not been suffering in that prison cell, think of what we wouldn't have in the Word of God.
Absolutely.
His suffering brought, you know, great fame to the Lord's name, even today, all these years later.
You know, traveling to get our kids, or when we've done overseas missions or gone to South America, they get it.
They
get the suffering thing a lot better than we do here in America, because in Western culture, we'll do everything we can to avoid pain and suffering. Like, we will go way out of our way and drive around the county to avoid suffering. None of us would choose it. But I just think it's time as families, as moms and dads, that we face the reality that there really is no way to avoid pain. Mm-hmm. And if any group of people know this, it would be foster and adoptive families.
That's right.
Because we've declared, yes, Lord. We've broadened our tents. We've opened our lives to the hurting world. And I don't know of a group of people that have embraced brokenness more than adoptive and foster
just
families.
Just knowing ahead of time that you're walking into it.
Yeah.
And you may not know what that means, but you do know I'm walking into something really, really messy. But it's really in our pain that we are driven to the healing power of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I think about, too, when you were talking about Western culture versus other parts of the world not experiencing pain is, we, you know, have songs that tell us to go wipe off our crazy, and we're always saying, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But what if we really all did just learn to sit in the pain?
Yeah.
And not sit in it to
not
where
wallow
you
in it.
Not wallow in it, exactly. But to learn how that it's okay to feel all of that and to experience it and be vulnerable with another human being and say, I'm really hurting. Can you walk alongside me with this?
Yeah, so. And with the questions you said earlier, like, Lord, I'm ready for all this to end.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it's okay. He can shoulder it. I tell my kids all the time, run to Jesus first. Mom's here. He can shoulder all of this.
Right. When you were talking about, you know, that the enemy wants us to feel isolated and then he defeats us and weakens us. And I was just reminded of this with the story of a young adoptive foster mom who took her life not very long ago, and she had 8 children because the pain was so hard and people didn't even realize how much she was struggling because she didn't share. And we just want to tell you guys, these things are hard, but you don't have to end things like that. That's the body of believers can build you up. So even if today you're struggling, we're begging you to talk to someone and to get the help that you need, because God is bigger than today's overwhelming problems.
Yeah, Dr. Jeremiah has been doing a great teaching
lately. On Joseph?
Yeah, on adversity. And one thing he said about, he brought out about Joseph, he said, it's from Psalm 105, verse 17 and 18, but to sum it up, it's through Joseph's suffering, iron came into his soul. I love that when he came out of that prison, suffering for something he didn't do with Potiphar's wife, he was an iron-souled man. Dr. Jeremiah goes on to add that God needs iron-clad souls.
Right.
Man, I love that. So, you know, giving him all the credit, Dr. Jeremiah, I just love this teaching. But those who have suffered and have grabbed a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment come out of this stronger.
That's right. And that's what he's called us to. And, you know, suffering is the means to our maturity, to our perseverance, to our endurance, to our long-suffering, whatever word you want to put in there. The only way that we mature in that way is to go through very difficult times. And I don't want that for myself. It's not fun. I sure don't want it for my children.
No.
But I also don't want children who aren't ironclad servants of the Lord. And so if that means, Lord Jesus, take us through whatever you need to do, but help us to lean into you and be vulnerable with others so that we can come out on the other side and your name can be made more famous.
Yeah, I love that. And something else kind of just really simple and practical I have to do. Music is just a balm for my soul.
No kidding.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Surrounding myself with praise and worship and the teaching of God's word.
Yes.
I mean, it's at our fingertips now, mm-hmm. on our phones.
I listen to it every day.
Yeah. Because if not, then your mind gets to racing. Mm-hmm. But it helps me to move forward. My sweet Libby, she's always sharing new praise songs with me. But I love this new song by Bethel Worship, Raise a Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually wrote the song the night they got word that an enemy was attempting to take the life of a little boy in their circle, in their group, named mm-hmm. Jackson. And the words say, I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my mm-hmm. enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief, right?
Mm-hmm.
I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. The Lord moves the world mm-hmm. to rescue us. They continue to play that song and share that I'm going to sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise mm-hmm. because death is defeated and King Jesus is alive.
You know, the battle for our families and the hearts of our children is real and it's intense.
Yeah.
And if we don't keep showing up and choosing to walk in faith despite our feelings, who's going to stand in the gap for them?
That's right.
But when we worship and we remember God's character and we say it out loud, heaven invades our pain.
Yeah.
And we can see Jesus in the middle of the storm. We're lifting our hands and raising it all up to the only one who can bring victory from our pain.
Amen. That'll preach. You know, some days pain and doubt really attempt to just cripple us in fear, to just, we can't move forward, to just immobilize us.
Mm-hmm.
But I've learned to put up stops.
Right.
You know, when I'm resting in God's word, or like you said, having the preaching and teaching going on in my home, praise and worship, the enemy cannot control my thoughts.
That's right.
And he cannot gain more ground.
Mm-hmm.
And in worship, the Father enables me to take back the time that fear has stolen, probably in the middle of the night.
Right.
And bravely face this day. I'm not worried about tomorrow,
right.
but bravely facing this mm-hmm. day.
So when we intentionally surround ourselves with all that truth, the
yeah.
enemy loses. He doesn't want any more. He wants nothing more than to monopolize my thoughts.
Right.
He wants my hope to feel crushed.
Yeah.
And he wants my affections for this struggling child to wane.
Yeah.
But you know, Lynette, as you mentioned earlier, that he knows that his time is limited.
Yeah.
And he's attempting to destroy every life he can. The word says he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
But if we stay in the fight by continuing to work and sow in kingdom work, then we're refusing to let him gain any more ground in our lives.
Yeah, can I just end with something that I found in my Bible? I mm-hmm. noticed that as we were working on this podcast a while back, I had been in just a difficult time. I'd kind of pulled back, and it was lonely. And as I read in 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord, it's not in vain.
Mm-hmm.
And beside that, I had written, Lynn, keep showing up.
That's right. I have that written on a chalkboard in my kitchen.
There you go.
That exact verse.
Keep showing up. And my questions then shifted from, why, Lord, to how do you want me to use this in my life
mm-hmm.
so it can count for your glory?
Yes.
You know, everything
That's
shifted.
That's a totally different perspective.
Yeah, not from my flesh,
right.
but from the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I cannot predict how the promises of God will take shape, nor can I get control, like you mm-hmm. said earlier, outcomes. We control nothing.
No.
But I can choose to be faithful.
That's right.
And there's nothing predictable, easy, or normal in this calling, but as long as the Lord gives me breath, I can keep showing up in faithfulness.
That's right. So we're going to keep showing up, Lynette.
Yep.
We're going to refuse to be at the back of the pack and alone in enemy territory. Our success is not found in the outcomes, but in our daily faithfulness.
Absolutely. And so we'll just add some things in the show notes mm-hmm. to maybe encourage you along. But today, as Tara said earlier, let's lock arms and mm-hmm. continue as adoptive and foster families to keep showing up for those the Lord places in our life.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.